You're nice and comfortable.
I'm comfortable.
Oh, jolly good, jolly good.
Not picking my feet this time.
You're not picking your feet. No. Well, well, we thought we'd carry on kind of where we left off, really.
Yeah, talking about last jobs we did and
performing.
Performing jobs.
Yes, performing.
And the stories and that we came across and the people that we met and that kind of thing.
Yes. Mm. So you were talking about your time doing drag.
Yes.
Do you miss doing drag?
Yes and no.
Well, there's an answer, isn't it?
Well,
yes and no.
I'm glad I don't do it now because, you know, I didn't want to be one of those drag queens who was still performing in their 60s late 50s.
You could always do Whitney Houston.
Because that, no.
In a bathtub.
No.
Singing in the bath.
No, that's not nice at all.
Isn't it? Oh,
okay. No. Because
too soon.
Too soon. I've seen some drag queens that I know that were drag queens and they look terrible and they're in their 60s and they just look like some old broad from that looks. Going to the shops.
Well,
going on stage and they look bloody awful.
Well,
I'm not going to mention any names because I don't want to slag anybody off.
You make me think of Maisie Trollett.
No, Maisie, I like Maisie. But
well, yes, I worked with
Maisie. Maisie's always looked old. Even when she was younger.
Yes, very true. I mean, it's 30 years, more than 30 years since
she was old.
I,
she was old
I met him, I don't know, what was his real name?
I can't remember. I don't know their real
But
names.
I met Maisie Trollett. He was staying in the same apartment complex as me in Gran Canaria.
I don't know their names, their real names.
Dripping with jewellery. Always dripping with jewellery.
But was he in drag or not in drag?
No, he was just he was on holiday.
A normal
and he was there doing drag shows.
What did he look
and
like?
I appeared in one of his drag shows.
What did he look like out of?
On our broad.
Like out of drag?
Out of drag. You know, you could say the drag improved things a little bit.
Lord have
mercy. Yeah, I thought the same when I met them because there was two. We're going back to the 1970s. Called Hinge and Bracket.
Oh, I like Hinge and Bracket.
Very
talented.
Yes, they were very talented.
Operatic things, weren't they?
Yes.
Very operatic voices. Well, beautiful.
Sort of. Yes, I do. Well, I met them once at a theatre in Leicester, and they were in the bar, the Haymarket Theatre in Leicester. So we're going back to the 1980s, mid-1980s.
Yes, I wasn't alive back.
And when I met them, I met them sort of after they'd done their show.
Yeah.
But I'd never seen them before.
Out of drag.
Yes, I swear I probably stood next to them for 5 minutes before I realised I was having a drink with them.
They're quite high-end drag, though, aren't they?
They're high-end
drag.
Yeah, right.
Very high-end.
Well, they were good enough for...
I think one of the best.
But anyway, most of our listeners, particularly the ones in the USA and Canada and elsewhere, won't have the foggiest...
Who these people are.
Who the fuck Hinge and Bracket ever were.
Mind you, they might have been big in America because of what they did, because of the opera, because they sang opera and they were very funny. So they might have had a following in America.
I doubt it.
You never know.
I doubt it.
I bet you they did.
Yeah.
You never know. Anyway.
So, anyway.
Any road up. Carry on.
Carry on. Well,
you're talking about you met them in the bar drinking.
Yes, but we digress because I was asking you about whether you would do drag.
I wouldn't do it now. No, because I don't want to end up like an old queen doing drag every night.
I got news for you.
Coming to go. I'm an old queen, but I don't want going on stage every night and having to perform.
Lord. Yeah.
It's a lot of stress,
isn't it? Well, that's why I gave up the singing.
You have to have an agent, and you have to.
This is it. I gave up my part. That's why I stopped singing.
Why
professionally?
That?
Well, I mean, at the time, I had already had a career, or was careering through something. I was designing knitwear.
Yes.
We'll go on to that. That's a story for another day, folks. That's another story. Which I think I said last time as well. But anyway, I kind of got discovered at a live mic night.
Oh, where was that?
But they were having a competition over about 6 weeks. And I got this is in Leicestershire, before I moved to London.
Ah.
So we're going back now to about 1989, maybe.
Okay.
And, God, it seems like 5 minutes ago.
But it wasn't.
It wasn't. Clearly wasn't. And sang at this live mic night and won the night, you see, from the judges. But then Kamal, my partner at the time, and I were going on holiday.
Yeah.
And so off we toddled on holiday for a fortnight, funnily enough, to Sidges. Okay. So off we toddled for a fortnight's holiday. But we had to say to him, sorry, I won't be able to make the final.
Yeah.
It's the we're away on holiday, not back till so-and-so date. So anyway, we went on holiday and we came back and I assumed it was all done and finished with and thing. But they changed the date of the final.
Oh, so you can be in it.
On purpose.
Oh, that's good.
And so I went to the final and won it, of course.
Mm-hmm.
Of course. it's a bit arrogant, isn't it? Conceited.
Of course.
But anyway, you know me, a bit competitive. And and people arrived and it was packed and they got banners with my name on it. And it was quite surprising. And so I ended up with an agent because there was an agent there.
Fantastic.
And so the next thing, after months and months of rehearsal and learning all sorts of songs, some of which I didn't like singing. But back then, you know, your agent sort of, they didn't just book you. They're kind of, you've got to do this and you've got to do that. Oh, they like this kind of song. Oh, they don't like that. And, you know, if it's Christmas, you've always got to sing flaming, shaking Christmas Stevens. Snow is falling bullshit.
Yeah, yeah.
And all those kind of...
Slade.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. All of that.
The usual suspects.
So you kind of had to and they even said, oh, you need to grow your hair because there's no bald singers. And then it's like, no, I'm not going that far.
You're
going
to grow your hair?
They can deal with it. Yeah.
And just wear a syrup then?
Well, of course I wasn't going to wear a flaming syrup. A syrup for all the people is a syrup and fig wig.
Cockney
rhyming slang rather than Polari.
Like apples and stairs, which means
apples and pears.
Which means stairs.
Yes.
Okay. Not apples and stairs.
You can see he's not much good at this kind of nonsense.
I'm a Cockney, I should know these things.
Yeah, yeah, Cock or something.
Cockney.
Cockney. So anyway, any road up.
Okay.
So yes, I kept the bald head. And off I duly went after a few months of rehearsal.
Yeah.
And to gigs that I'd been
what were the places
signed
like
up
sang
for.
In then?
Shitholes, mainly. Absolute shitholes. I mean, don't get me wrong, some of the venues were nice.
Yeah. What were the audience like then?
Bastards.
Bastards?
Oh, my God. Well, there was a thing, you know. You obviously we're going back to
different time,
a slightly different time. It would, as I said, 1989. So if you were up north, northern England in 1989, they're pretty dure, difficult audiences. Mm. You know, from the industrial, deindustrialized north.
Didn't you tell me that there were some places that the women weren't allowed to be served in the bar?
Yes.
Unless they were their husbands.
That's right. You know,
some of them were working.
This is 1989. Exactly. 1989. And I went to one particular gig. And I wasn't performing. The agent actually invited me to this thing. And he said, look, likely as not, you're going to be performing on this stage. One of the big working men. I mean, it was huge.
Yeah, massive.
Huge place. Massive stage. You know,
yeah,
a bit
yeah,
like,
huge. Yeah,
like seen, a I've London Palladium sort
I've
of
I've seen them on I've seen them on TV when they used to show the wheel and what's it called? That program that's on TV every Friday night? Was it Saturday night? And Shunters.
The Wheel Tappers and Shunters. Social club. Working men's club from up north.
Yes.
Yes, they televised this god-awful program.
It was awful, terrible.
And I never thought things, really, those places were quite that bad until I had
smoky
to work in
places,
them.
Smoky places, weren't they? Really smoky.
Well, by the time I went, smoking had been banned.
I had it? Okay.
In a lot of these, but look, it felt like it. I don't remember seeing smoke-filled rooms. I'd have to check on that, and my memory's a bit dim. Mm. Because I remember, I go to this place in Rotherham, and the agent had said to me, here you go, it's in this road, here's the address, and he called it the Titanic, right, and obviously with a dead serious face, I hadn't realised until I got there, and I was up and down this street, I couldn't find the venue. And I pulled up the car, and all of a sudden the agent's face appeared at the window. And he says, you're here. I said, I thought you said it was called the Titanic. He said, no, I was only joking. We call it the Titanic because everybody goes down there. Well, you've never seen anything like it. You're bad at, this is why I wanted to go and look at it, and I thought, crikey, what am I doing?
What's it like inside
these there? Poor acts. I swear that's where I saw Russell Watson perform.
What was it like inside the club then?
It was like just an oversized working men's club, but women weren't allowed to be served at the bar.
That's incredible.
They'd serve behind the bar, but they weren't allowed
to get a drink.
Weren't allowed to go and buy a drink at the bar. The men had to get the drink at the bar. This is 1989, folks.
Jesus.
Sexual equality and we kind of moved forward in London way before they did up north. Which is, therein lies a tale for Brexit. Who voted
that's
what?
Story.
But anyway, so yeah, the heckling. Oh my God! And that's the thing when
what
you
kind
do.
Of things they were saying then. This.
Well, I mean, I did went to one place and big auditorium. This was in Nottinghamshire, and I got there and I had a sports car at the time, and then two plus. So you couldn't really get in. No, you could. No, it was two-seater. There was no back seat. The engine was behind. It was mid-engine. And so this tiny little boot that you had and the passenger seat had to take all my kit, you know, sound desk and all the rest of the stuff. And but I parked my sports car up outside of this gig in Nottinghamshire and went in and I thought, oh, this is going to be good. No, another one. One of these 500-seat...
500?
500-seat auditorium, you know. Big stage. And so I thought, oh, this is going to be fantastic. When I came out when it was time to start the performance, and there was about 20 people in the dim sort of, you know, just you could just see the silhouettes because of the stage lighting.
Yeah.
You know.
Very harsh.
You know, you're flaming squinting, you know, like this, squinting. But anyway, could see these silhouettes. I thought, there's fuck all people in here. Anyway, never mind. So I carried on. And at the end of the first half, as I've left the stage, the MC, they have an MC, don't they? Master of Ceremonies. This is the geezer, that's the manager, really, of the club. And if anybody's ever seen Phoenix Nights, it's kind of like that.
Very
it's
very
usually
very
some... well, so this guy, you know, clearly he had a lifetime well affiliation with brandy because his nose was bulbous and almost purple. Like his face was going to pop any minute. You know, and he had the sort of... sort of a dinner suit and bow tie. And cheap dinner suit and what have you. And, you know, very overweight. And he looked at me and he says, here, lad, is that your white sports car parked outside? Because if it is, it won't be there when you leave.
That's nice, isn't it?
So it's like, oh, I'm welcome here then. So I went to, in the interval, I went to for a drink at the bar. And the place was absolutely packed.
Yeah.
Packed full to the rafters. Right? And I thought, great, the second half's going to be great. And I came out the second half and it was the same 20 people at the back. Because the others had only come for the bingo.
Oh, my God.
And I remember this one, you asked me about the heckling. This one person at the back. And all I heard was this voice. Says, can you fucking hurry up? I've got the last bus to catch.
Well, it's good. So, a lot of people who have done the working men's club said it's a good way of learning your craft. Because if you've got those kind of audiences... They're hardest ones. I mean, even Lily Savage did. Working men's club.
But you get fed up with it. You know, I did one New Year's Eve where I pulled the plug on it all halfway through because there was two blokes having a fight in front of me, and the beer with the pints of lager were going everywhere.
I think
I got drenched, and I was on the microphone. I don't know how I managed not. For it to get wet.
It was always fights in those kind of places.
And I went, that's it. I'm off. Fuck off.
Was there always fights in those kind of places?
I think that was the only place I ever saw a fight break out when I was performing. Yeah. I remember sort of being in a club in Blackpool on New Year's Eve, and all of a sudden in the middle of us dancing on the dance floor, two lesbians suddenly plonked on the floor in front of us, and one was trying to strangle the other. A bit like something from Airplane. I think that was the only time I ever was performing and a fight broke out. But then there was lots of other,
Do you remember the time when we went to the place, we were doing karaoke and we went to the
We liked to be at karaoke.
We used to do it quite a lot. We used to do it with this woman, but I'm not going to mention her name anyway.
We could go to straight places. Yes. This is the thing. None of these places
were
going.
One in Canningtown was the first one we went to, wasn't it?
Canningtown.
Canary Wharf, Canningtown?
Cable Street.
And what did the guy say to you when you came in?
I'm waiting to go on stage to do a couple of songs, and this big burly geezer went, don't want you in here. It's like, sorry, beg your pardon. You're on my patch. Sorry, I'm on your patch. You're a drug dealer. It's like, no. I'm here to perform. Didn't believe that, and a little while later accused me of being a policeman. Until, of course, I got up and sang and confirmed I wasn't a singer. No.
But what about the one where you used to perform for that when you used to do the one when you used to do it at Caroline, you used to go and that the gangster.
The gangster pub.
You used to perform all the time. Do you remember? Every time I saw you.
Oh, yes. There was this one-eyed Turkish mobster. And it turned out that quite the people we used to meet up with and sing used to work at this mobster's all night bar.
They were really dodgy pubs, didn't it?
But turned out owned a lot of pubs, and of course, worked in his all night gaff. Obviously got work in a lot of the pubs, which of course he owned. A whole bundle of pubs in the East End. And one eyed gangster, and I met him, I was introduced to him one night, and he asked me me to sing, did I do any Frank Sinatra? And of course, Frank was my favourite. And I sang a whole bundle of Frank Sinatra tunes in this little set. And He kept saying, "Oh, come on, get us," and all the rest of it. And I happened to ask him, "Do you mind me asking how you lost your eye?" And he said, "Somebody shut it out." So I reckon half of Whitechapel could hear me swallowing when he said that. Yeah. But anyway. You and I went later. Yes,
was it a little drive?
No, that
was in Mile End, wasn't this one?
Well, it doesn't matter. Oh, I can't bloody remember what it was called. But we went in and it was another person there that night that I used to sing with. Also the one I'd sang with in Canning Town before I met
Yes.
Because I only ever went to Canning Town once. Yes. Believe you me, Canning Town once is once too often.
But yes, he was in that pub in Mile End because it was his pub, do you remember? And he asked you to perform and it was his birthday.
Well, this was it.
It was your birthday.
We went there. You said to me, so what do you want to do? I went, oh, I know what. We'll go down to so-and-so. Yeah. And I'll sing a few songs.
For your birthday.
For
your birthday.
Bob's your uncle. And we got there and we sat down and in walks this guy with the eye patch and his two minders. So there was a big fuss going on, and champagne appears at the table. He sees me. No, at his table. He sees his table, me.
That's what I mean.
He sees. Yeah, just like that.
Yeah.
He sees me, and he went, "Ah, you sing some Frank Sinatra? It's my birthday." And
he's like, "Same day as yours." What?
So, folks, I share my birthday with a Turkish one-eyed mobster. And ironically, the character from One Foot in the Grave, Victor Meldrew. But again, for people who don't know who Victor Meldrew is, worth taking a look at One Foot in the Grave if you've never seen it. English comedy. But hey.
Very fun. Anyway.
But,
But that was... We went to the place called The Little Driver, which was in...
You keep mentioning this Little Driver. Because that's Mile End Road.
Yes, and that was weird. That was the weirdest time. We performed there that day.
Yes, it was a Sunday afternoon.
Remember, there was a fight outside.
Well, no, it all started off. We're in there, milling about in the bar. And obviously,
did some guy bring a book
with
the gangsters?
We're standing there having a drink, and the couple are setting up their sound equipment.
Guy Ritchie would have loved that, wouldn't he?
These old geezers were in the pub, with the old Crombies,
with the Crombies over the shoulder,
threadbare,
with his hands wasn't in the Crombies.
Yeah, exactly. Just over his shoulder. Oh, no, he had a camel-coloured one.
Yes, like Del
Boy. Just over his shoulder. Yeah. And the same kind of thing as Del Boy Trotter, what I mean? One day, Rodney, we're going to be millionaires. But, hey, and we'll be standing at the bar, and this one of these guys and he said to this other guy, "I bought the photo album for you to look at." And he owns the photo and I'm standing at the bar. "Hey, do you remember old Frankie?" And I'm looking at the picture. And fucking hell, that's Mad Frankie Fraser, famous East End gangster. And poor old Ronnie and Reggie. You know what I mean? And it was basically an album of all
gangsters.
The nefarious mates. Who were well known in the East End.
We were waiting
time.
For her to come to sat the karaoke, but she was late.
That's right, she was late. We were hoping she would come and rescue us. And then the guy appeared in the camel coat, didn't he? And it obviously had a beef with one of this other group in the threadbare Crombies.
Yeah.
And ended up taking it outside. So there you go.
Yeah, big fight outside.
But I wasn't actually performing at the moment it happened.
No. We were going to, but I was just saying, but that's one of the kind of things you think, that's really bizarre.
Mm.
You know, how do we get to this place? How do we get in places?
Well,
I've got a story for you before we finish anyway. There was a girl that I knew years ago. I used to be chefing with her. We used to work together. And
you were a chef?
Yes, long time ago.
Uh-uh.
Long time, years ago.
I thought you were cooking a bit better then.
Excuse me? That's what I trained as. So anyway, we were working together, and then we got around to talking, and she said, oh, wow. We went up one night, and we started, she went, I think we did we do karaoke? Yeah, we did karaoke once. And then she said, oh, I didn't know you sang. I said, yeah, I do a little bit. I didn't know she had a good voice. She had a really good voice. And then she said to me, I entered these talent shows. And I said, oh, okay, what kind of talent shows is this character where she travels around the country? I think I told you about her once.
Yeah.
She was an Asian girl who, an Indian girl who had dyed her hair blonde.
Right.
But really bad blonde.
Oh, right.
Really terrible. Because when
you're not painting a great picture of her.
No, she's a lovely girl, don't get me wrong.
You're going to tell me she's got sausage lips.
No, she didn't.
No,
it was a long time ago.
They didn't have sausage lips back then.
Anyway, no. she was a nice girl. But the thing is, she dyed her hair. And when somebody who dyes their hair, whose their hair is brown, it doesn't go blonde straight away.
Custard yellow, doesn't it?
Yeah, you got to dye it red first before you can dye it blonde.
Right, okay.
But her head was like a custardy yellow.
Yeah.
And it does not look good on somebody on dark skin because it just looks...
And the relevance of this?
Anyway, because she liked Madonna. She did dark
grey.
The relevance...
She liked Madonna.
Yes, that's why she dyed her hair blonde. And when she used to do the shows, when she used to go and do these talent shows...
Right.
And I used to always go and help her with everything, and the setup and everything, and the backing tracks and stuff like that, and carry her bags and... do her makeup and help her with her hair. And she performed, we went to one in Welwyn Garden City. Well, that was like such a long way away. I've never been to Welwyn Garden City ever again because it's such a long way away.
Right.
So she performed
there. And it isn't a city, is it?
No, it's not.
No.
So we went there and she performed.
It's not even a fucking town, is it?
She did that song, Madonna's song, Latista Bonita.
Oh, yes, whatever it is. Yeah.
And she didn't.
She was rubbish.
She didn't get anywhere in the show. She came last, actually.
Oh, wow.
But she was actually, the people that were on the show, she was actually one of the best ones because the show wasn't that great. And it started late. Everything was awful about it. And then she asked
me. Where was this competition? Oh, yeah, Welwyn Garden City.
And she said to me, and I thought, I'd been to about five of them with her, and I thought, I'm not going to go to any more because the last one was a disaster. It's really hard to get out of it when somebody tells you.
I'm starting to nod off. Yeah.
What do you mean, starting to nod off? I'm just trying to explain to you
got out
what
the
she
audience.
Was like. She was a person who was really, and she sang the Madonna songs, but
she bleached her hair custard yellow. She looked like a tramp.
No, she didn't look like a tramp.
Oh, right, okay.
She had a really good figure. She looked great, but just didn't...
She looked like a fit tramp.
the audience couldn't kind of identify, because you look at her and you see an Asian girl, an Indian girl with blonde hair singing Madonna's songs. This didn't match up with how the audience
were going to look at
her. So I said, you should have done other songs or did something different, because people didn't... And she didn't like the fact that I actually told her the truth. I said... As a person,
she was watching you. Today, she'd be accused of cultural misappropriation.
Yeah, hello,
you're not allowed to sing a song. You're Indian.
As a person watching her, I said I gave her a good critique. She said, "What do you think?" I said, "Well, doesn't match what you're doing. Doesn't match
what you look like.
What you look like, and it kind of looks a bit weird to the audience.
Don't have to look. It's not fucking stars in there.
Yeah,
eyes,
I know, but it looked." The audience in those parts of the country, they weren't exactly multicultural.
So, we're up north again, aren't we?
I don't know where Berlin Garden City is. I have no idea.
Don't
I know it was far. That's all far. I know. It was far. It was awful.
So you don't know whether they went west, east, north, or south?
I can't remember, but they were very kind of a bit off because we weren't... I think we were the only two people of colour there.
Well, you carry on talking. Trying to amuse the audience
for
the moment.
It was a very strange and strained performance.
Yeah.
And the audience wasn't very responsive, that's all I can say. What were you looking at now?
I want to know where Welwyn Garden City...
I don't know where bloody... I think it's in outside London somewhere. I don't know.
Welwyn Garden City. Well, I got news for you, mate.
Where is it?
It's not much north of Hatfield.
Yes.
That's not up north.
I didn't say it was up north. I said it was far.
It's not far.
Excuse me.
It's 20 miles north of London, to be fair.
Yeah, but it's still far to come back the same night.
Well, I used to go to
Chapel. Yeah, but I couldn't... You had to get. You couldn't get a train.
I used to finish work. I used to finish work.
There was no night bus coming from Hatfield to come back to
hold
London.
Hold up.
To get a cab.
I used to finish work. Half past six. Drive then to Chapel St. Leonard's on the east coast of England.
Yes, but.
Right? And be on stage at 9 o'clock at night. Finish, because there'd be on and off for a couple of hours, and then get home at about 1 o'clock in the morning.
There was no night bus from bloody Hatfield. I had to get a bloody cab. It was expensive. So I wasn't very happy about that.
I've got news for you. In that part of the world, there ain't no night bus.
Hello. I was coming from there to get a cab all the way to Leighton at the time.
I used to go get there.
It cost me a fortune. I never did those talent shows again.
Oh, I'm not surprised. Funnily enough, talking about Chapel St. Leonard's, they were the gigs that when I did them, were always good. Because when people are on holiday...
Yes, they're happy.
They're happy, you see. They're
happier.
And they're easier to please.
Yes.
In fact, I've even had... But don't get me wrong, I was in my late 20s at the time, so having late middle-aged women throw their crusty knickers on stage at me,
sounds disgusting.
I know. Me. And they're supposed to be the ones that are enjoying your performance.
Yeah,
this is what we do in England, folks. You know, a strange place, especially these days. Doesn't quite know what it is, but anyway, yes, yeah. What else did I do? Well, you know, just a catalogue of things, really. Most of them I ended up quitting because they're a pain in the arse.
So you don't want to do that again then?
Well, do what go on, but sing professionally. No, I would, what would you? Catch me in... Well, there's no working men's clubs left, are there?
Yeah, but you could do... You could carry on singing again. You could do a
stint. Yeah, well, you know, I could do a little stint on here, really. But anyway, that's a story for another day.
Yeah.
Next time, we're going to chat about holidays, aren't we?
Yeah, holidays. We're going to talk. That's hilarious.
There's plenty of stories.
That we've talked about holidays.
Yeah, I think we've covered everything that really...
Mm.
15 seconds of fame. No, not even fame. Just 15 seconds. Anyway, I think it's time to serve the dinner up.
Oh, yeah, I'm good.
Yeah.